Let us pray. Holy Spirit, would you open our hearts to hear your voice this morning? And would you anoint my lips to speak your words? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, at the beginning of lockdown, our little work team decided that we would love to read a book together and discuss it. And finally, about 3 weeks ago, we got around to starting. And it's this little book, Ordering Your Private World. We had a bit more time than usual, so it felt like a great point for an attempt at some self-improvement. The basic and very solid outline of this book is one man's journey to improve his inner world, to take stock of what is important, and to give some consideration to the way he spends his life and time, money and energy, to ensure that those things are directed towards the things that really matter. Now, I'm only 3 chapters in, so I can't claim to have grasped the overall message of the book, but a few things have really stuck with me and made me ask new questions of myself. I'm sure I've said this before, but it often happens that in the run-up to sharing from this pulpit, I'll encounter some significant personal challenge along the lines of the themes of the readings for the Sunday I'm up to preach. And this was one such occasion. The preface of this book is entitled, The Day I Hit the Wall. Gordon MacDonald talks about what it was like to run out of steam completely in his work, to lose heart and vision, and to realize that many elements of his life were pointing in the wrong direction. But the reader also discovers that he is this man of extraordinary natural giftedness. He has resources, a winsome character, good connections, and natural flair. And he writes this. For the past 2 to 3 years, I have been aware of my very fast start. Most of those who had graduated with me had gone on to assignments that are not as attractive as mine. In some sense, many of them had not enjoyed the advantages that had come to me. The result? They had to work harder, discipline themselves more carefully, and develop an inner depth that I had not found it necessary to worry about. Hard-hitting words for some of us, I'm sure. Definitely hard-hitting words for me. The excerpt from today's epistle, Romans 8, can speak to this, I think. It reads, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." What a promise. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. In the New Testament, weakness can mean one of three things. It can mean adversity, or it can mean sickness, or just the general difficulty of being human in the world when our hearts long for a heavenly home that's free from all this complication and mess. And at the moment, it feels like our global afflictions fit into all three categories. And so there are days when I wake up and I simply have no idea what to pray for, which means sometimes my prayers are just the normal things, health, family, ministry, weather. I am British after all. And the deeper intercessory work just goes undone because I can't find the words. And some days I definitely don't want to ask for God's will to be done because I'm worried I might not like it. But Scripture tells us, and I definitely feel it, that we don't know how to pray as we ought to, and we need God to intercede for us. In times of deep pain, we may not even want to talk to him. And then, more than ever, it's helpful to bring these words of Scripture to mind. When terrible things happen to us and dreadful things happen in the world, we can quickly run out of words. We worry about believing in an all-powerful God who allows this stuff to happen, and that is a sermon for another day. And we mourn our discomfort. But here is the real difficulty for me. To use the words of Rick Warren, what if God is more interested in our character than in our comfort? So often, staying safe and comfortable is at the heart of our prayers, not growing our character and becoming more Christ-like, being like the yeast of the kingdom of God that brings the earthly world to something a little closer to the kingdom of heaven. And this is one of the reasons that we desperately need the Spirit to pray for us. Because it's okay that we don't know the mind of God. Because we might not want to pray for it if we did. Because sometimes there just won't be adequate words. Because God will always hear his own prayers. And when the Spirit prays in us, God hears and listens. And finally, this passage teaches us that the Spirit can pray without words, can pray with cries or groans or the tears that stream down your face in the car or the time you wait while you hold your tongue while responding to your spouse or children. It can be in the fist against the wall, the hard work in the gym, the deep breath before you open the door when you get home after work, the dancing to the radio when you get good news. If we invite the Holy Spirit in, they can be holy moments of prayer too. Weakness is often something that we try and avoid. Being in a position of weakness feels vulnerable, but it's also the moment when the Spirit can get to work, where we can see God working and hear him speak. If not in the moment, then afterwards. It is, as my old boss used to call it, the miracle margin. When we reach the end of our resource and find ourselves actually depending on the faith that we proclaim. And it's this theology which is why these early chapters of Mr. McDonald's book sit slightly uneasily with me. Gordon reaches his weakest, darkest moment and his response, to work harder to get his life in order, to build good disciplines and harness his private time, to enhance his talent by praying more and reading scripture. And in some ways, it is such a good and holy response, but it's not all there. Because weakness can be a holy moment too. It can be where the Holy Spirit meets us and does more work than we could imagine. I cannot recall how many times in my life when the work of the Spirit has begun, when I finally run out of solutions myself. And so sometimes the call when we reach rock bottom is not to strategize. Sometimes when we feel lost, it's not the moment to plan out a new future. When we feel out of control, it's not always the time to rally our remaining resource and just do better. And this is when we really get to practice asking the Spirit to intercede for us. So where does this leave us? How do we find this miracle margin? How can we live Spirit-filled lives when we've got all these other things that depend on us? Well, firstly, be encouraged, because the Spirit does intercede for us. God prays for us and hears the prayers of his own Spirit. And when we are out of words, we can sit and be, cry, exercise, walk, lie down and dream, all made into moments of prayer by asking the Holy Spirit to pray with and for us. Secondly, the Christian walk can be so much more difficult the better resource that we become. I know in my early days of faith, with no real resource and big vision, it was much easier to depend on God. And as a result, I saw more miracles. I had near weekly stories of seeing the Holy Spirit at work. And when we're talented and wealthy, well-networked, well-respected within our work and social circles, it seems that that's the time when we have so much more to lose. And so we depend on ourselves, and of course we have people dependent on us. And it all somehow gets so much more complicated. So we need to learn to take some risks of faith. Controversial, maybe. Ask God to use you and mean it. Ask for his will to be done and mean it. Ask God how you might be less comfortable and see more of his purposes in the world. Scripture shows us that sometimes risks are staying somewhere uncomfortable, and sometimes risk taking is going somewhere new. Sometimes putting yourself in danger, and sometimes the risk is staying behind. Sometimes speaking out, sometimes staying silent. Ask God to show you where you might see him at work. Then practice weakness. Tell someone about your call to ministry that you've been hiding. Tell someone about your diagnosis. Accept help from a friend when you'd normally just rely on yourself. Be honest about things you're struggling with someone. See what God does when you're in a place of weakness and you stop pretending. Next, learn to listen. The Spirit intercedes for us, but prayer is a two-way thing. We have to ask the Holy Spirit to pray what we don't know how to pray for, and then we need to learn to listen. Suze McBay and I recently had an exchange of messages discussing the way that we physically heard God speak to us, sometimes in our bodies, sometimes in the physical world. Again, a subject for another day, but spend some time discovering how God speaks to you if you don't already know. And then practice following those little prompts of the Holy Spirit. As a tiny, tiny example, Alex and I were heading out to pick up some groceries. And I felt this odd urge to put the dog backpack in the car. He has his own little travel suitcase with leads and treats and all that normal stuff in. We pulled up at an intersection with a woman asking for money in the noonday heat. And so I handed her a couple of dollars and then remembered the bottles of water that were in the dog backpack for when we go further afield. I ruffled around and handed her those bottles. She was far more grateful for the water than the money. This is an answer to prayer of the last 2 hours, she said. And I thanked God for that little nudge to put that backpack in the car. The more we practice listening, the more this kind of stuff happens. Mostly though, when words fall short, when you fall short, that's when God can most easily get to work on you, in you, and through you. We live in this culture where we deal with weakness by working harder, not by asking God to intervene or asking him what he might be doing in this moment. However, when we embrace our weakness, embrace our lack of words, we can discover that our lives are more abundant with the Holy Spirit as a result. And that is a remarkable thing. Amen.